Good morning. How many of you were here this past weekend, Friday, or where were the rest of you? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 32. Verse 24, Genesis 32, verse 24. But before I read that, and we jump into that, I want to read something to you. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office. After his checkup, the doctor called the wife into his office alone. He said, "Your husband is suffering from a very severe stress disorder. If you don't follow my instructions carefully, your husband will surely die. Each morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be pleasant at all times. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal. For dinner, prepare an especially nice meal for him. Don't burden him with chores or anything. Don't discuss your problems with him. It'll make his stress worse. Don't nag him. And most importantly, make love to him regularly. If you can do this for the next 10 months to a year, I think your husband will regain his health completely." On the way home, the husband asked his wife, "What did the doctor say?" And she said to the husband, "The doctor said you're going to die." We've been talking about transformation in the family. How transformation starts in our hearts, and then transformation happens in the family, between marriage and then the children. And then it's from that foundation that transformation goes out to our neighbors, to the nations. You know, I have a personal conviction of before nations always comes our neighborhood. You know, because there's a globalization within the vision of apostolic movements where we think globally, but there's also local impact that we have to make. Because if we're not making local impact, there's nothing we can export. Because the authority of what we export has to impact the local. Amen? Therefore, it has to start in our house. But what I want to do this morning is I want to dial us back into more of a personal state with God. We're on a personal level. Between you and God, between me and God. And really, the point of transformation comes by encounters. It doesn't come by reading books. It doesn't come by, how many of you know we're not even called to read the Bible? Some of you looked at me and went, huh? The Bible doesn't say read the Bible. It says meditate on the word day and night. The meditation of Scripture is what brings transformation. If you just read it as a book, it's going to give you information. If you meditate on it as a heart of God, it's going to transform your life. And a lot of us, we read the Bible like another book. But instead, I would challenge you, every time you open up the Bible from this point forward, think of it as the heart of God. That you're opening up His heart, and His heart is speaking to you. And you're finding His words and His feelings and His emotions and His affections for you. It's the heart of God. This is the greatest text message we've ever received. Can I get an amen? And so I want to look at the life of Jacob this morning and how his life was changed. In fact, how his name was changed. It happened through encounter. You know, I've shared a number of encounters this weekend that I had. When I came to the Lord, it was through an encounter. It doesn't matter what teacher comes and teaches you. If I could submit this to you, none of my teachings change your life. It's Holy Spirit that changes your life. I do my best to present the truth and the Word of God, but I don't have the power to change anyone's life. I don't have the power to heal anybody. I don't have the power to know anything about people. But it's by the Holy Spirit. by the Holy Spirit, and in the Holy Spirit, we see lives changed. We see people healed. Amen? And we have divine revelation. And so sometimes I feel like Jacob, he gets a bad reputation. He gets a bad rap. But there's something about Jacob that we can learn. In Psalm 24, it talks about how it's a generation that seeks his face, the God of Jacob. You know, and have you ever wondered, why does God say the God of Jacob? Because we know God changed Jacob's name to Israel. So why not the God of Israel? But why Jacob? Because I believe Jacob understood something within God's heart, even though he didn't live a life that was fully pleasing or acceptable to God, but it still moved the heart of God. There's something about the blessing of God that Jacob understood. And how many of you know blessings are powerful? The blessing of God is powerful. In fact, the Bible says that the blessings on your life from Yeshua is going to capture Israel's attention, that the Jewish people, that they're going to be jealous because of the blessing on your life, and they're going to come ask you, why are you so blessed? And that's a way that the Jewish people are going to come back to their Messiah. Did you know that? And so there's something about the power of blessing that Jacob understood. And so we know in chapter 28 of Genesis that Jacob was running because he stole the blessing from Esau. We know Esau's name means hairy one, hairy man. Jacob's name means deceiver, liar, usurper. How many of you would like to have that name? Are there any Jacobs in here? I knew there's some Jacobs in here, and people are going, oh my gosh. But you're in Psalm 24. It's a generation that seeks his face, the God of Jacob. And so I want us to learn some lessons from the life of Jacob when it comes to transformation, personal transformation. And we're going to start with verse 24. Now, the context of this is Jacob is still running. What's he running from? He's running from Esau because Esau is on his way to kill him, right? Because Jacob's about to die because he stole someone's blessing. How many of you, can you imagine the blessing that God put aside for you with your name on it? I come and steal it and run away. What would you do? Oh, Tony, it's okay. We love you. God bless you. No, you probably want to kill me. Angry? Okay, you're Chinese. You be nice to me, but in my sleep, you want to kill me. Because Asian culture is very passive that way, right? We go, that's okay, Tony. Can you believe he stole that from me? And so this is the context. And so let's read this, starting with verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Say daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated. Say dislocated. While he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Say, bless me. Bless me. Say, bless me. Bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? Say, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel. Say Peniel. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life was preserved. Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel. Say Peniel. And he was limping on his thigh. Say limping. Therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which was on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray right now that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, help me to communicate what I believe is on your heart this morning with clarity. I pray, Father, that your word, that our lives would be cleansed and transformed by the washing by your word this morning. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Have your way. We give you permission to invade us in every way for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jacob, he was running, and he was left alone, and all of a sudden this man shows up, and they begin wrestling. Do we have any wrestlers in here? No? See, I grew up wrestling in high school, and then I quit wrestling to play soccer. Soccer players? Yes. I played many sports through college. But he's wrestling him, and he's continuing. In other words, God shows up, and he's wrestling with God, right? And in this context, and he says that, you know, they're wrestling till daybreak. Say daybreak. See, sometimes we have to wrestle even when it's dark in times of hopelessness, in times of fear, until daybreak, until the dawning. Because for us to actually step into a new day, we have to be able to persevere through the night. And many of us go through night seasons, and we don't see the day because what we've done is we've become stuck in the night season. And all of a sudden, as much as we're trying to advance into daybreak, into the new dawning, we're stuck because our hearts are not right. And when our hearts aren't right, we become stuck. When our hearts aren't aligned with God, we stop advancing. But what we have to do is we have to learn to fight. Say fight. See, we need to get a little bit of chutzpah. That's the Jewish word for a little bit of, you know, just we need to get that little oomph in our life. And we need to keep hope in our hearts. Because we know the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a promise fulfilled is a tree of life. How's hope doing in your heart? How is hope? Is she alive and well? Because hope will cause you to float. Hope floats. Examine your own heart this morning, because it's hope that advances you. And if you don't have hope, you're not going to advance. So if you want to continue moving forward in the things of God, and you want to continue moving forward in the calling and the destiny and the assignment that God's given you, it's impossible to do it with hopelessness. And sometimes when we're stuck in the night season, we could lose hope because we're human. Have you ever lost hope? Maybe some of you are feeling this way. You know, Romans chapter 5, it says, hope does not disappoint. Hope never disappoints. So if hope never disappoints, if God's word is true, and it is, and hope never disappoints, then why do we get so disappointed with hope oftentimes? It's because I want to propose to you that we've confused hope with wish. I wish I had that. I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. But how many of you know hope and wish are two different things? Hope is not a feeling. It's eternal. Hope is a pillar of heaven. Hope is a fruit. And so if you lost your hope, this is a good morning to get your hope back. This is a good morning for you to ask Holy Spirit to renew your hope. Because the reality is hope is already in you. Colossians says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's the anchor of hope. What is hope? Hope is the joyful anticipation of good that you expect coming your way. That's why you can have joy. You have joy because there's a hope. But without hope, there's no joy. And did you know, without hope, there is no faith. You're trying to have faith, but you know what? Before you have faith, you need hope. But did you know, before you have hope, you need love? The three greatest are these: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. Amen? And so love secures us. Hope advances us. And faith manifests promises meant for the future into the now. So hope is for the future, while faith is for the now. And when you have hope and faith operating together, then what's meant for the future, by faith, you could create in the now with God. Amen? Well, where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. It's a great question. There's a Syrophoenician woman in the Gospels that came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is cruelly possessed." And what does Jesus do? Ignore her. And she says, "Jesus," and the disciples are saying, "Get this woman out of here. She's loud, she's nagging, she's annoying." And she says, "Jesus." And then he looks at her and says, "I'm not here for you. I'm here for the lost children of Israel." What would you do then? "I'm not here for you. I'm here for them." We get mad, angry, offended. And then she said, and then she bowed down and worshiped him. It says she fell at his feet. He said, "Jesus, heal my daughter." And he said, "It's not good for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." How much worse can the conversation get? It's just going downhill really quick. But her response, with humility, she didn't allow her heart to become offended. She was unoffendable. And she said, "But Master, even the dogs feed off the crumbs off the Master's table." And all of a sudden, it captured Jesus' full attention. He said, "Wow, I have not seen such great faith in the land here." And then he says, "Let it be done to you according to your faith." And her daughter was immediately healed. That's hope. She came to Jesus and he ignored her, but hope kept her going. He said, "I'm not here for you." Hope kept her going. "I'm not here for you. You know, I can't give you the children's bread to the dogs." Hope kept her going. And her hope and her faith, Jesus said, "I'm not here for you." And then her faith, all of a sudden, Jesus said, "Okay, she's healed." What, you know, what was that? Was he really not here for her until that moment? I think there's something about her faith and her hope that captured heaven's attention. What was meant for the future, she pulled it into the now. And that's the power of your hope that releases faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Amen? And so he's wrestling with them all night. And it says, and when he saw that he had not prevailed against them, in other words, he could not beat God, right? Stop fighting God. Because can I encourage you? You're going to lose. It's a losing battle, right? I fought God for a long time. And I lost. But it's the best loss I ever lost, ever. When you lose with God, you still win. Because then you get what's best for you. And it says, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated. Say dislocated. This is a marking on Jacob's life that would forever change him. He was a man on the run. But now he's limping. Say limping. Do you have a limp? Do you limp in life? One of the great advices I received by a number of different leaders is never run with someone without a limp. In other words, don't do life with people that don't have a limp. Because this limp brought a humility to Jacob. This limp, it's a sign of brokenness. And see, when people are prideful, it's just because they haven't been broken. That's all. But the good news is this, prideful people are going to get broken. Right? Either they're going to allow themselves to be broken, they allow themselves to fall on the rock, or the rock's going to fall on them and they're going to get crushed. But either way, they're going to get broken. And Jacob, from this moment forward, dislocated his hip. See, God wants to dislocate us from some things. He wants to dislocate us from our past. He wants to dislocate us from our fears. He wants to dislocate us from our worries. There's some things that he wants us to be severed from. Amen? And the only way that he knew Jacob could move forward is if he touched the socket of his thigh and dislocated his hip. Because up to this point, Jacob was running. He was running with fear. Is fear your driving force in life? So often we say wisdom, we're using wisdom, but yet we're making decisions out of fear. And how many of you know any decision made out of fear is a wrong decision? Because fear is like a dark room where the enemy comes in and produces his negatives. And many of us are living from that dark room. Many of us are making decisions out of a place of fear. But I have good news for you. God wants to replace fear with faith. He wants to replace that fear with love. Because it's perfect love that casts out all fear. Amen. And so many of us, even parents, we're so fearful for what's going to happen to our children. Can I tell you this? God loves your children more than you do. He gave you your children. And if they're not walking with God, just pray for them and believe that God loves them more than you and love them. I had one family come to me and they were so disturbed and understandably so. You know, they never thought, because their child came out and said, "Mom, Dad, I'm gay." And they came to me and said, "What do we do, Pastor Tony?" I said, "Does that change the fact that your child's your child? Love her. Just love her. You don't think we should say, no, love her. And let God deal with her. Love her, pray for her, support her. Maybe not in the decision she's made in life, because we could still love in disagreement. Right? Amen? And they said, "Oh, I'm glad you said something, because I was about to kick her out." No, don't kick out your child. Love. Love is powerful. Hope is powerful. Speak life into her. Let her know she's loved. You know, she's confused right now. You know, and you're awfully quiet. Smile. You're way too serious on me. We have a joyful God, not a serious God. Right? And so this is Jacob's journey. He was running with fear, but you know what? From this point forward, he now limps with the faith. And I would rather limp with faith than run with fear. And so here's Jacob. He's pretty messed up. Have you ever dislocated anything in your body? It doesn't feel good. Right? I dislocated my left knee about 7 times. And it doesn't feel good. You can't do anything, right? You just pop it back in. That's what you do. And he says this, even in his brokenness, he said, "God, I'm not going to let go of you." See, that's the key. When you feel broken, when you feel like you're in a dark place, when you're fighting depression, disappointments, hopelessness, don't let go of God. This is a time you need him more than ever. And so often when we're in these positions, we become recluse. We hide. We don't want to talk to anybody. But this is when we need family. This is when you need to text somebody or call somebody and say, "Hey, I'm really struggling. Would you pray for me?" And I understand that. I'm the same way. When I'm not feeling well and my life's not going well, I like to be by myself, right? Anyone else, right? But what I do is I text my friends. I let my wife know. I said, you know what? I'm not doing well. I'm fighting this thing. I don't want to see anybody. But I said, I need you to pull me out of this. Don't let me get by myself. Don't let me get isolated. We're all human, right? But we need to learn to live the proper way, the healthy way. And he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Say, bless me. How many of you know you're already blessed? If you woke up breathing this morning, that's a blessing. If you have clothes that you can wear, that's a blessing. If you can wear a different outfit tomorrow, you're incredibly blessed. Did you know that the homeless people in America, they're richer than anybody even in a nation, the different nations. The poor in our nation is really rich in other nations. You know, we are a blessed people, amen? And Jacob understood the power of blessing, and he said, bless me, because you know why? Jacob wasn't living as Jacob, he was living as Esau. Because it was still Esau's blessing he was running away with. He was living out of someone else's identity. He was living out of his brother's identity. Whose identity are you living out of? See, oftentimes I feel like we live out of form, not our image. See, man, humans, we've been made out of the what? We've been formed out of the dust of the earth, is what Genesis says. But we were created in the image of God. See, what we need to learn to do is live in the image, not just the form. Because the image is your identity. That was a good word, Tony. Thank you very much. That's good preaching, Tony. Thank you. I appreciate that. And then he goes on to say, what is your name? Say, what is your name? What if your name was liar, deceiver, usurper? Would you be proud of that? What if that was your reputation? What if you're known as a thief? You're known as a liar, a habitual liar? It'd be difficult to own up to that, wouldn't it? He says, what's your name? Now, this is a very powerful question because this takes Jacob back into several chapters back where he's before his father and his father says, he's on his deathbed, he's blind, and he says, what's your name? Who is that? And he said, my name's Esau, is what Jacob said. See, this is how God redeems. This is a redemptive moment for Jacob. And we fast forward several chapters, and here we are. And the angel of the Lord says, what's your name? And he probably struggled with that because he's now remembering back. His father asking him, what's your name? And he said, Esau. He says, what's your name? And he goes, my name's Jacob. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a usurper. See, in order to advance, you have to acknowledge your true self. You have to acknowledge your weaknesses. We try to hide our weaknesses. But did you know God doesn't call you to the place of your strength? He calls you to the place of your weakness. And that's where strength is made perfect. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I boast more about my weakness, the Apostle Paul says. Amen? He said, my name's Jacob. And he said, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. See, when you come before God and you're honest and you're vulnerable and you say, God, I'm hurting inside. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling disappointed. I'm feeling lonely. I feel rejected. I feel offended. I feel bitter. I feel fearful. When you're able to take that before God and just say, this is who I am right now, God will give you a new name. He'll take that and he'll say, your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is Israel. See, transformation comes through encounters with God. The more and more you spend time with God, the more you're transformed from glory to glory. And this was a transformational stage for Jacob. And then Jacob says, please tell me your name. And he responds, why is it that you ask my name? In other words, it doesn't matter what my name is. And then he received the blessing. You know what the blessing is? The blessing is the invocation of God's name into your name when you become one with God. That is the greatest blessing you can receive. That's why in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26, it talks about how God spoke to Moses, spoke to Aaron, and to release the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you. You know that one? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you shalom. See, that whole process of blessing is actually God putting his name inside their name. See, when God puts his name into your name, you're transformed. See, Abram had an encounter with God, and his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. See, the hey of God, say hey, is the Hebrew alphabet of breath. When the breath of God comes into your name, you become transformed. He turned Sarai into what? Sarah, because the hey of God was invoked into her name. It transformed them. And see, and God's in the business of changing names. My family was known as addiction, as anger, as abuse, as all these negative things. Now people come to our family and say, tell us what God did. Help us, because we don't know what to do. My name used to be stupid. Now I'm less stupid. Actually, I'm very wise. I'm a wise guy. God changed your name. Which name are you living from? Are you living from Jacob or are you living from Israel? See, that's why even throughout the Gospels, Jesus was sometimes called Peter, Simon, and sometimes Peter. Did you know that? There's interchangeable. Because sometimes he'll live as Simon and sometimes he'll live as Peter. But God called him to live as Peter. What name are you living from? It all starts with encounters. And then it says this. So Jacob named the place Peniel. Say Peniel. Peniel means face to face. Face to face with God. Whenever people had encounters in the Bible, they changed the name of the city. Jacob, three chapters before, he had a dream with God. Remember the ladder dropped? Angels ascended and descended? He woke up and he said, God is in this place and I didn't even know it. And the city was named Luz or Luz, and he changed it to Bethel, the house of God. Because why? He had an encounter there. Wherever you have an encounter with God gives you authority to change the name. Are you with me? I had an encounter with God in my city. In Bakersfield. Therefore, you know what I'm doing now? The mayor and I, along with other government leaders and city leaders, we're changing the reputation of our city. Because we know that through encounters with God, we've been given the authority. You want to transform your family? Worship and have an encounter with God in your home. And you change everything. You want to transform your workplace? Worship God. Have an encounter with God in your workplace. And you have authority to change it. That's why I love the prayer walking. As you're prayer walking, encounter God. Look for the encounters with God where you see his face. And you'll be given authority to transform cities. Amen? It's this transformational encounters. Let's all stand together. Some of you are looking for many answers. You need solutions. But I want to encourage you. You don't need solutions. You need an encounter with God. And if you're saying, you know what, I have situations that are impossible. I find areas in my life where I am hopeless. And in my journey, I stop believing. I feel stuck. You're driven by fear, confusion, perplexity. You need an encounter with God. Can I get someone to come on the keys? And if I'm speaking to you this morning and you're saying, you know what, Tony, you're talking to me. You're talking to me. I need an encounter with God. I want you to come out of your seat and come forward right now. His name is Waymaker. He makes a way when there seems to be no way.
I want
you to look at the face of God. And we're joining with all of eternity right now before the throne of God.
我们现在就在神的宝座面前, 在他的永恒当中,
with the 24 elders around the throne.
就是24位长老就在宝座前, 向神敬拜,
the place where the angels cry out, Holy, Holy, Holy.
就是当现在天使在天上, 在宝座前说, 圣洁, 圣洁, 圣哉,
we're in his throne room.
我们就在宝座前敬拜,
and his face is shining down on you.
他的脸正光照着你。
Now look at his face.
现在就来仰望他的脸。
And just tell him how you're feeling.
就把你心里面现在的感觉来向他诉说。
Tell him what you're afraid of.
你害怕什么？
Tell him what you're worried about.
你在担心什么？
Share your heart with him.
把你的心向他敞开,
your struggles.
你的挣扎,
and then ask him.
来求问神,
who do you say I am?
你说我是谁?
Who do you want to be for me right now?
你想要我成为什么样的人?
And hear his voice.
听他的声音。
Pray right now in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God would mark you right now. That He would sever you from hopelessness. That He breaks off disappointment. That He's healing your heart right now. To release forgiveness.
释放那个饶恕,
to release the bitterness.
释放所有的苦毒,
to release offense.
释放所有你觉得被冒犯的地方,
that you're free from that now.
你现在要得自由,
because that's not who you are.
因为那些都不是你应该有的。
He's exchanging with you right now.
他现在和你做交换的工作。
He's giving you love.
他给你爱。
For fear.
换，把你的惧怕换走。
He's giving you faith.
他给你信心。
For your doubt.
把你的怀疑拿走。
He's exchanging and giving you hope.
他给你这个盼望。
For hopelessness.
把所有的那个绝望拿走。
He's giving you clarity.
他给你一个很清楚的方向。
Out of confusion.
把那个所有从迷惑当中。
And he's giving you peace.
他给你平安。
Peace for the exchange of chaos.
把那里面所有的混乱拿走。
So Lord, I pray for these ones right now.
主，我现在为这所有的人祷告。
That they would align with heaven.
他们会与天堂对齐。
Align with your heartbeat.
和与你的心跳对齐。
Align with your word.
对你的话语对齐。
In Jesus' name.
奉耶稣的名。
Amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand? Just give him a thank
you. 来向主献上感谢。感谢主。呀，感谢主，谢谢托尼牧师给我们的分享。真的是我们都需要遇见神。Amen. 当我们没有遇见神，我们若是只是在话语上面很多的学习，若是我们没有真的看到神在我们生命当中动工，我们永远就是待在一样的境况里面，一样的困境里面，都一直出不来。我想我们现在，我们回到位置上面，我们真的是需要很多来向神来祷告。真的，我们就像刚刚托尼牧师说，他可以讲所有的资讯给我们，若是你没有真实的遇见神，所有的讲道，所有的教导与你还是没有益的。除非你自己愿意打开你的心，像雅各一样说，你不给我祝福，我就不让你走。今天你现在就要做这样的祷告。 Now you just need to make the prayer just like Jacob. So if you don't give me the blessing, I will not let you go. You know, you need to be just like that desperately. So, 主啊，我一定要。 I have to have it. You know, from that time, that you will change. You will change. You will change.You know, everyone, 每一个人信主的旅程都不一样，但是只有真实的改变是当我们遇见神的时候。 Everyone who believe in Jesus have all have different stories, but the only things countis when you face to face encounter with God, because that you will really forever change. You will live for Jesus. You know, 我每一次在为教会祷告， I see so many people in and out, come and go. But I say, Lord,This is a church. Welcome, Holy Spirit. If they come here just because of worship, because of sermon, because we have different activity, but if they did not encounter with you, that's not the purpose for this church here. 我说如果有人来到这个教会，这是因为这个教会的敬拜，或者只是因为这个教会的活动，或者是因为教会的讲道，但是他没有遇见你，他来了又走了，没有你在他身上画上记号。我说主啊，这不是我们教会在这里的目的。I really want to see all of us. We were
partnership together for God's kingdom in Boston and all over the world. And one day we will rejoice and celebrate in heaven. Say, Lord, we live for you. 就是有一天我们在地上，我们说那美好的仗我们一起打过，我们一起为主的名，为主的国，曾经一起摆上过。有一天我们到来到天上，我们说主啊，我们一起可以来庆祝，没有一个失落的。真的不要不冷不热，不要可有可无，一定要竭力的追求神的同在，走在神的旨意当中。这是神给我们他的形象，他的样式。我们要越少为自己活，因为这些都会过去，你所争的东西都会过去，不会存到永远，谁也不会纪念。为什么花所有的时间去追求那些必坏的东西呢？求主帮助我们有智慧的心，真的有智慧的心，好不好？我们一起来祷告，真的是来到主的面前，向主来苦求，说主，我需要你的更新，需要你的改变。 I need to encounter with you, Lord. I truly need the transformation, Lord. I don't want to just live a life just like this. Get everything I want to get. Achieve everything I can do. Get the reputation, get the wealth, get the position. So what?I really want you to find a destiny that Jesus has already placed in your heart. Cry out to the Lord. I do believe that revival is not really how successful the people we can gather. How big is the meeting?Revival always comes from the brokenness, from a broken heart. Whoever cry out to the Lord, God will listen and respond to their prayer. 真正的复兴从来不是因为我们可以聚集多少人来聚会，教会办得有多成功。真正的复兴永远是来自一个破碎，对神的破碎跟一个真实的祷告。你知道我何等渴望看见在 Boston， 在 Boston， 因为这个地方是神 Mark 做记号的地方。 I do believe Boston has the position because it has been revival here beforeSo many people cry out here. And this church, when it's founded, is not in our plan. It's God make a mark here saying, I want to be with you guys. I want to live in, among you. So he would definitely finish this good work.We can start it. 好不好？我们来祷告，来祷告，来祷告。Spend more time in prayer. Sure. 求神来使用我们每一位。你是神大能的器皿，他可以使用你，在你的家庭，在你的职场，在你所在的地方，带下转化的大能。再次把你自己献上，当作活祭。That you are the vessel of God gonna use. Just present yourself as a living sacrifice. So, Lord, I want to live for you. I will no longer live for myself. I will live for you. Use me, mold me.I will shine for you and stand firm on the truth for you. Lord, nowadays there's so many decisions you need to make, so many challenges in our life. But Lord, I will follow your voice to do, to choose, to stand where you want me to do. I will align your heart.Let's all stand up to receive the blessing.
May Yahweh 赐福给你，保护你。愿耶和华使用他脸上的脸光照你，赐福给你。愿耶和华向你扬脸，赐你平安。Amen.
The Lord will bless you and shine upon you.Guide you and give you peace. Amen.